This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
So, I actually found myself very surprised that I did not hate a certain book.
I found the surprise that I didn't hate two books.
You know what? Out of the seven books that I read, one of them I stopped reading, and two of them I didn't think I was going to make it through, but I really enjoyed them. So it might be the same books.
Okay.
The first one I almost didn't even read because I'm done with the book. But I read this issue of Green Lanterns.
Yeah, that's the book. That's the second book. I thought we were talking about a different book, the first one. But yes, I quite enjoyed this one, which is ironic because this is the second issue that we really enjoyed, and they weren't even in it.
Yep, I was thinking the same exact thing. That how sad is it that the best two issues of the Green Lanterns series did not have the Green Lanterns in them at all?
Exactly. Yep.
Well, I mean, this one had Green Lanterns, but not the Green Lanterns that the book is titled after.
Right. Correct.
But yeah, I was going to skip this. And then I saw Mike Myers tweeting about how much he liked it. Mm-hmm. And how it's a great book if you like Volthoom. And I was like, you know what? What the hell? I'll give it one last chance. And of course, it suckered me in because I know in 2 weeks the issue's going to suck when the Green Lanterns are back in it. Right. But for now, I'm kind of enjoying this one.
Yeah, I really dug it. I really did. I like the whole thing of the whole backstory on Volthoom.
Yeah. Yep.
And how it was more like when we first got introduced to him, but say when I first got introduced to him, because I hadn't seen him before. So like the whole time I was like, okay, what's this dude's backstory? Why is he being such a dick? Or, you know, is he just crazy? What's going on?
Right.
And then this one, you kind of sympathize with him a little bit because he just wants to die.
Yeah.
But he can't because he's like the living color spectrum, basically, right?
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah, sort of. I mean, they basically used him to make the lanterns.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, he was the source of the... Yeah. So all that really intrigued me. Just like when we had, what's his name, Frank?
Yep, Leminski.
Leminski, yeah.
Yeah.
So if he could write single character issues... Yeah. Then what the hell's going on? Why can't he write Simon and Jessica like that?
I'm wondering if he has a better time writing not necessarily bad guys, but like I mean bad guys, I guess.
Right. Well, I guess I mean I like the Jessica centric issue that we had a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago. You know, her anxiety one. And I thought, okay, if we rank those three, because those are basically the only single character issues that we've had so far.
Right.
I'm going to have to, for me personally, I'm going to have to put Frank's number one and then Jessica's number two and then this one number three. Just because, and I guess that's not really fair on any of the three issues.
Right.
But they were character centric, and I thought that the Jessica one was a shot in the arm that first the Frank one was the shot in the arm that the whole series needed.
Yeah, oh exactly. Because it was totally out of nowhere.
Right.
That all of a sudden like this very formulaic book completely broke mold and, you know, was like very, very good for an issue. But I,
and then like the Jessica one, I think that that issue was very centric for her, minus she didn't sound like a whiny person like she had been. Okay. So like for me, that like if he wrote them going forward like that issue, then that would be the second breakout issue that gave me hope again for the book.
Right.
And then this one, you know, it's like almost like every six issues. I know it wasn't six issues between those three, but it's like every six issues or three issues or whatever. Huh?
It almost could have been, because this is the, what is this? This is 18?
Yeah.
So it was maybe towards the beginning was the Frank one, and then
I was thinking it was the Frank one. Was
4 or 5 issues ago.
Yeah.
That was the Jessica one, because we had the two with terrible ones with Batman.
Yeah, that was when I was recording in the wind tunnel.
Yeah.
That everybody was mad about.
It's probably better that way, because there were not many good comics that week.
Yeah. But hey, Rob Krieger sided with me, so.
Well, you know. I guess you're all crazy. I agree with you a lot. That I mean, I would flip this one in the Jessica episode issue, whatever, for me. That I think the Frank one I think was my favorite, but I like this one a lot as well. You know, seeing his struggle. You know, basically he's from a dying planet and he wants to save his planet, and he's a brilliant scientist and he's traveling through the multiverse trying to find scientists to help him.
Right.
You know, and it like so many great villain stories, it starts off, you know, as a semi hero that, you know, just declines, and he spends what, 10 billion years sitting trapped in the box?
Yeah. It's billions, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So 10 billion years, yeah.
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 That
And I liked how they chronically, how he went through his mindset, like after the first billion years, this is what I felt, you know, and after 2, and then after 5, and so on.
Yeah, I mean, this issue, it was done very, very well. That I mean, it really dug into the character a lot, and it just bothers me that he can write like this, but also writes like the worst Batman I've ever read, and just like, oh man, every couple issues I'm like, I'm totally done with this series, and then he does this and I'm like, god damn it, I got to read the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the other one you were very surprised by? Was it the one that I told you to read? Yep.
Which would be Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's another one that I was like, I've been really on the fence with this one, that it's almost to the point where I'm just going to give up. But then I read this, and you know, when you're messaging me, you're like, yeah, I'm not going to read this. I was like, no, just read this issue, because it's the best issue of the series, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think there's been some benchmark issues, like what we said with Green Lanterns, but
honestly though, the difference
but not,
is
yeah.
with Green Lanterns, I can remember the Frank issue, the Jessica, this one, I don't remember anything.
Yep,
I cannot remember any good issue of this series. I mean, there was the whole thing with the boat. Then there was the thing underwater in the tunnel on the train. But that, I don't remember. You know, this has been such a non-memorable Green Arrow run.
Yep, I agree.
But again, this issue, it's, you know, Roy Harper-centric. Mm-hmm. It gives you, you know, it brings him into Rebirth, I guess. Oh no, he was in
Titans. He's in Titans. Yeah,
But
it brings him into Ollie's rebirth world.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's good. I liked how they did it. You know, I actually, there were a few books that did a lot of like flashback type stuff that I thought did it really, really well this week.
Yeah. And it seemed like that was the theme this week, really, was touching the flashbacks.
Yeah.
From the books that I read, except for maybe one. And that was the one that you hadn't read that you're trade waiting for or whatever. But yeah, this one, I mean, I'm always a Roy Harper fan anyways.
Yep.
So then to actually see this side of Roy and then how pissed off he is when Green Arrow actually shows up in the last two pages.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked how they sort of introduced the two of them at the start, you know, where Roy just kind of pickpockets him.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of just lives in the mall.
So is that like a retcon of Roy's past? Without retconning it? Because he talked about having, being a druggie and stuff, a junkie.
Yeah, I mean.
So is it like a happy marriage for all of his origin stories?
I don't remember exactly where the two of them met. I think, I want to say his father was, no, I don't know. It wasn't his father. He was raised by like the medicine man or, you know, in the Navajo or whatever Indian tribe, I'm forgetting. And, I know after, I'm trying to think, I think his father might've been like a forest ranger or something. And that when he died, he was kind of adopted by the Native Americans. And then I think after, I don't remember what the guy's name is. I want to say it was something like Brave Bow or something like that.
Okay.
After he died, Oliver kind of adopted him and took him on as his sidekick. But I don't really remember how they met.
Okay.
You know, I'm sure someone will message us, like Daryl or Mike or someone.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great. Just, you know.
Yeah.
I know some people would be mad because they were or maybe are retconning part of it, but yeah, like the key benchmark parts of the character are still in there.
Yeah, they mention everything else. That it's
the rebellious part.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Yeah.
And another part that I thought was great was it was his idea the whole time was to trick arrows.
Right.
You know, and Ollie was totally against it.
Yeah, that I like the scene when they're going over the trick arrows.
Yeah.
And he's like, how am I supposed to even figure this out? He goes, come on, they all have different fletchings that you should just be able to feel.
Yeah. And both of these books, like both green books, you were actually pulled into the story and I could feel for each character.
Yep.
Like Balthoom with and Green Lanterns and then with Roy with this one.
Right.
And I think that was key for me liking them because they weren't just one-off reads or, you know, quick reads or whatever. I was actually pulled into the actual story.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, like I've always enjoyed Roy Harper. Valthoom.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been as, I mean, like Roy Harper's just been in lots of books I've read. Valthoom has not.
Right. But, yeah, I understand.
Like you're saying, they did a really good job getting you to feel for the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said before, the best bad guys are the ones, you know, like the flawed hero kind of that you can relate to. And, you know, you see what he's trying to do and you get it. And it's just, you know, everything he does is wrong, but he means well.
Right.
You know, and it's sort of Roy Harper is not at that level, but it's sort of the same, you know, he's going to do, you know, he's going to the reservation to help, you know, even though his people, you know, I guess his, you know, semi brother, adopted brother,
right,
you know, pretty much kicked him out after he killed his father, which I don't remember him doing that in the original comics. That might be new.
Right.
But I mean, obviously it's, you know, he feels so strongly for the cause, even though he's completely not welcome there.
Right. It's like one of those things where that old saying is you can never go home again.
Right.
But like,
but I mean, especially if you kill your dad.
Well, yeah. And it could be, he always was an outsider because he's Caucasian too.
Right.
So it might've been an accidental death or a sacrifice for Roy that is twisted too. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely like this book this week.
Yeah. The other one with the flashbacks I thought that were done really well was Batman.
Mm-hmm.
This issue though, this issue was real hit or miss for me.
Okay.
I really, really, really liked Bruce Wayne and Bane's parallel histories.
Right.
Seeing all the flashbacks of the two of them growing up and how their lives were, I mean, could not get more more opposite.
Right.
You know?
Right, yeah.
That, I thought, that was done fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't care much for Batman and Bane's altercation in the present day.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it was the way it was paced with the whole thing. Like, I mean, I really, really enjoyed all the flashback stuff. But, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe it was... Some of the art in this was, like, almost Liefeldian.
Really?
With Batman's anatomy to me. Like, when I, you know, some of it is, I don't know, his proportions are just odd. But
to bring up Liefeld, that's like, that's almost like JRJR territory right there.
No, but I mean, like, you know that Captain America picture everyone makes fun of?
Yeah,
there, I know. There were a couple, a couple panels in this where either Batman
where
or Bane,
he was misproportioned.
Yeah, it was just like the way they were turned looked unnatural.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I liked it. I loved everything. Like you said, we had two total opposites, like complete opposites. Like you had the Silver Spoon kid, and then you had the kid from the gutters, like literally, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's born and raised in prison.
Yeah, so, like, the altercation, the only thing I didn't like was Batman had the plan all along, right?
Right.
For Cat to get them out.
Yep.
So, why do you have to get your ass pummeled and beat? You know, I mean, dodge and weave, man.
Well,
wasting time. You know, you don't have to take a punch to the face because, I mean, it's not Deathstroke that he's fighting. You know what I mean? It's Bane. And I'm not saying that Bane's not a good fighter. I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to get your ass beat and not, you know, hit punching back like you're Rocky and waiting for him to tire out.
But, I mean, he did need to cause a long enough distraction. So what better way to do that than to let Bane just pummel the ever-living crap out of you.
That's what I'm saying. Dodge and weave, dude.
No, but eventually, if he did that, Bane would just be like, all right, I'll fight some other time and leave.
Do you really think so?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're trying to play devil's advocate, but it's not working.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I mean
and that's nitpicking at it, too. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe it's not Batman-esque for him to dodge many times or whatever, but there's a couple, at least six overhead haymakers that Bane just connected like crazy. And I'm like, you know, and then there's a couple panels where Batman fights back. And then like one where Bane swings and misses. And I'm like, damn, dude, you just got pummeled 6 times. And then you put up an offense. And then now you're going to dodge and weave? Now that... So, I don't know. Maybe it was just playing into his psyche, I guess.
Yeah.
But I did like flashback episodes. I did like... There's a couple of things that I did really like you said, that mirrored each other.
Yeah.
There's a, even the different play on the words. You know, like Alfred was saying... saying something, and then the guard was saying something else that basically kind of meant the same, but it was harsher.
Yeah,
you know, it's always all about the approach.
Yeah, like, and then I think one of those was when Bruce was by his parents, and who was it? Gordon was like, "Oh, you know,
yeah,
come away. You don't need to see this or whatever."
Yeah, right.
And like in the Bane thing, it's like, "Oh, you know, who cares?" What did he say?
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, here it is.
It's more
that's
or less
not her.
I mean,
she
in a non-Disney way,
now,
it's like, it's just her.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the other one, what do you need to look at that for? Anyway, you won't be here long.
Yeah, know, right.
These things happen. No one lives forever.
Yeah, right. Kind of like in the non-Disney way, it's the circle of life.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah, but I mean, I
without
like,
Elton John singing to us.
I also liked how, you know, the two of them were, you know, both sort of... You know, talking to their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through,
yeah.
Through things.
Yeah, they were. It was a way for them to push through what they were feeling and talking to, quote unquote, their mom.
Yeah, but you know, again, it's you know the parallels with you have Bruce sitting in this you know antique comfortable chair, and yeah. Bane is sitting in the you know on the floor in a prison cell in the dark.
Right. Which, I mean, if you want to be realistic about it, that's borderline batshit crazy, no pun intended. Right? That you're working out and you're, like, outwardly talking to somebody that's not there.
Yeah, I mean, also grabbing dead fish and just eating them raw.
Well, I mean, that might be a way of life there in
right.
The Dominican Republic prison there, or wherever it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's the Santa... Clarita or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But no, overall, and again, I haven't been up in arms like a lot of people have been, you right. know? So, and we did get confirmation that she did break his back.
Right.
Right?
I think
Which,
so.
Well, no, I'm saying she did say, remember
oh, yeah.
when I broke your back, or I left you with your broken back.
Yep.
Which was a kind of a debate whether it was a crack of, you know.
Right.
Or whatever. But, so that was pretty cool that, you know, that loose end was tied up.
Right.
Which, I don't know how I feel about that now, because I don't, it. Didn't appear that she hit him with so much force that, to break his back, but you know, whatever. Because, I mean, he's a big muscular dude, right?
Right, but he also didn't have all the venom.
Okay, but let me put this in an analogy. It's like Brock Lesnar is Bane.
Okay.
Right? And then you have ScarJo come up and karate kick him in the back. She's not going to break his back.
I don't know. She's like a super spy in that movie.
Okay.
Was it Lucy or whatever?
Yeah.
See?
And she's Black a ghost Widow. In the shell too, right?
Black Widow could break his back.
I don't know. But that's just me nitpicking again. But yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, we can talk about positive stuff because we live in a world where people bitch about every little thing, so I don't want to bitch about it. I'm just saying that was like one of the uncharacteristic things that like had me scratching the top of my head, like, really?
Right.
But then again, it's Catwoman, again. So it's kind of like what you're saying with Black Widow, you know? She's going to know where to kick at and the angle and the velocity and everything, so.
Right.
Which, I guess, I just talked myself into making it more plausible.
Don't you hate when you have this idea in your head and then you talk to yourself about it and you end up proving it wrong?
Yeah, but usually we're not recording and people are listening to it.
But, yeah, I mean, like you said, I haven't disliked this series like some people have been saying. There have been a couple issues that I wasn't too hot on, but overall I've been enjoying it a lot. And you know, I mean, like you said, even the nitpicky stuff that was going on in this, for me the flashback, the parallel flashbacks, more than made up for anything else in the book that I was like kind of meh on.
Yeah, agreed. And I think for me this is my number two of the week.
It might have to be by default for me.
Well, I mean, and then my number three, you didn't read, but it's the last part of the Death of Hawkman.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the collection of that. Because
that whole series is phenomenal, dude. The art, the everything. I love that book. And I think the only reason that it's number three on my list is because I'm sad it's the last issue.
Right.
So, you know, it's got to end, so you're going to the bottom of my list. No, I'm just kidding. But, like, yeah, that whole thing has been great, and it's actually left a good cliffhanger at the end. So.
Oh, cool. So there's a possibility of more?
A possibility of the characters.
Right. More.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I really haven't read any of like that series of books. I mean, I've been reading the Midnighter and Apollo.
Right. Yeah.
I haven't finished
the one shot or the mini series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one.
Because you didn't read Dead Man either, right?
No, I didn't read Dead Man. What was the other one?
Honestly, knowing you, I'm not too sure you'd be hip on Dead Man.
I that's why I haven't been reading it.
Because
I mean,
you didn't like. The Valiant one.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Mirage,
yeah. So, which it's kind of in the same vein, so I don't really see you liking this one either.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that I didn't like Dr. Mirage. It's done well, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Right, yeah. Which I think this set, the Dead Man series, miniseries will be in that same element. Like, the art's great and the story's there, but it just won't be your cup of tea that you find compelling, right. I don't think.
Yeah.
But there is one book that I was curious to talk to you about.
Uh-oh.
To see what your reaction was.
Was it Cyborg? Because I didn't read Cyborg.
Damn it. No. actually, it was Nightwing.
Ooh. Okay.
What did you think about it?
I didn't read it.
Shut up.
No.
You read it.
Yeah, I did read it. I liked it a lot. I have always liked Dick and Damian's relationship.
Yes. We know that you and Martin have always liked Dick.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, you just said that. The soundbite. I mean, come on.
Whatever.
But yes. Yeah, I agree. And before you go on, before we get away from that, that's one thing that I loved about this is that's more of the sprinkle of the past that isn't erased.
Yeah.
That they played on was him being Batman and Robin.
Yep. And the fact that they had their Batmobile, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, did you steal that? And he's like, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I like, it's funny, like in Teen Titans, I mean this book, again, it's continuing the run of Rebirth books where characters are better not in their own titles. I thought this issue, I think, was the perfect Damian issue.
Did Damien sounded like Damien, or yeah. Damien felt like Damien. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's not bad in Super Sons or in Teen Titans, but mm-hmm. this issue was the, you know, the sort of obnoxious know-it-all kid that also just wants to help.
Yeah. And see, that's funny you say that, because I was trying to think of the last time that I felt that Damien felt sounded like Damien was in the Christmas annual with a story where he got the toy for Jonathan.
Right. Yeah.
But all other, there's been like hit or misses to where Damien hasn't really felt like Damien to me.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember. I think the last Teen Titans issue, it got much, much better for me. But yeah, I agree. It's been a while that Damien has been the character I've really liked.
Because I think even the first Teen Titans one, it was kind of, there was sometimes he felt and sounded like himself, and then other times it was like total disconnect for me.
Yeah.
But Dick might be a daddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you said last week that you loved that relationship.
Yeah, and then they had to go ruin it with a pregnancy scare.
Well, he's not affected by it.
No, I know.
Right?
Well, the thing I like about that is, I mean... I can't even figure out how long exactly the two of them have been together, because in the last issue they were kind of jumping ahead in time, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it was, you know, covering a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think adding the possibility of a baby makes him even more desperate to find her.
You know,
I mean, not like he wouldn't be anyway.
Right.
But it adds that extra urgency, I guess.
Yep.
That, I am very much looking forward to seeing where it goes. I think seeing Nightwing and Robin together again is fantastic. You know, and like I was saying, that this Damien, where he shows up and, you know, he's like not confrontational, but I mean, he is. And Dick is just like, not now. I got something. He goes, right. meet me in an hour at my apartment. And he's just like, you know, and then he shows up at her place.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I just followed you because I don't know this place.
Right.
But I thought, you know, it's the kid brother that I just love.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's exactly what it is. And it's like he could tell that he was pushing the buttons.
Right.
And then, you know, like, Grayson, what are you doing? You know, he had that whole snobby voice. It's like, Grayson, what are you doing on the floor?
Yeah.
And then he was like, Grayson, you idiot, when he picked up the pregnancy test. And it was just, you know, just spoiled 13-year-old brat ass just oozed out of those pages.
Yeah.
At that moment.
Yeah, I mean, if I did have a complaint about the issue, it's the mm-hmm. whole, whatever they called the Twitter thing, Chirper,
yeah.
Something. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that part, but I mean, whatever. It was how he sort of was like, you know, oh yeah, I got to go see him because everyone's like, if Batman ever retires, I think that Nightwing needs to be Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can totally see him being pissed off about it too, though.
But do you see Damien as a kid who's going to be sitting on the internet?
Oh, true. Well, he was the kid that really wanted that console at Christmas.
Yeah, that kind of bothered me, too.
And him and Jonathan have played console games, you know. So I think that's part of Damien's growth as a character. As when we first met him, you know, way right. back when. He was all serious business and when wasn't he had a 13-year-old.
He was outside sword fighting bushes and trees.
Yeah. And so now it's him and his, like, perfect struggle of trying to be a kid and trying to be the best assassin or whatever he can be.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess assassin's probably not the right word, but.
Well, I mean, he thinks he's more grown up than he is.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I enjoy this one a lot.
Yep. So is this your, so would this be your number two or number three or number one?
This would probably be, I would probably say this was my number two.
Okay. Because this would be about like my 3B, I think.
Okay.
Just before? Because, huh?
No, go on.
No, I was just saying, just because I think Batman's number two and then Death of Hawkman's number three, and then this one would be 3B. Mm.
The before I get to my favorite of the week, which I think also might be your favorite,
mm-hmm.
I thought this issue of Aquaman
mm-hmm.
was...
Don't say it.
What?
I don't know. You're going to say it was mediocre.
No, I don't think it was mediocre. I just don't think it was as good as it's been.
That's because you're a heartless bastard.
No, I mean, I think... yeah, probably. I think it was done well. I liked the story, but, I mean, this arc... I don't know, the bar was set pretty high from issues like 4 to 14 or 15 or whatever it was.
Liar. It's just a set from number one.
No, I'm not lying. You are totally incorrect. You know, like it was for a while. It was running on such a high level that every issue was just like, you know, for me, it was better than the one before it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, like this arc feels a little like a step backwards.
Okay.
But I mean, it's still good. I would probably put this as my fourth book this week. Maybe. Yeah, no, because I like Nightwing, Batman, and another one more. But I mean, I liked it a lot, but it just isn't, you know, like the heart pounding, you know, spy intrigue thriller that it was.
Well, I'm going to happily disagree with you. I liked it. And I really liked it because I think it was right in Aquaman's character.
Okay.
Of trying to help someone that wanted to hurt him, even if it wasn't the smartest idea.
Right.
Because we saw last, you know, this whole series that his ideas really weren't smart, but he was strategizing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. He knew that, what was his name? Warhead, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't himself or couldn't control some things. So, and to reach out and help him or try to help him, you know, and try to talk sense into him because he knew that the real person was in there, I thought was right there in Arthur's character. And I thought that shined pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The art faltered for me in some spots, but
yeah, I don't know what it was like. Like you said, this issue, half of it looked great, and half of it was just like, oh, we got to turn in the pages.
Yeah, it was jarring too. Like you'd turn a page, and then it was like, wow, what the hell? Am I in a flashback? Or you know, because usually that's kind of like when the artist changes, or when they have.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but it just seemed like...
Yeah, but I mean, it was one...
It was all one, yeah, I know. Yeah. But I was just saying, like, maybe they changed the tone because it was a flashback or, you know, showing something else or maybe. In his mind I think whatever.
The flashback stuff was the best the art looked.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, there. I'm trying to think. There was the one page... I'm trying to find it. Where it was, like, the blue... all the blue panels with Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with like all the people's, I guess, thoughts or whatever.
Yes.
I thought that...
Like they were going... Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a really well done page.
Yeah.
It, in a way, it sort of reminded me of the Harbinger 1 cover with Peter walking down the street and all the thought bubbles.
Right.
But...
And I like that they threw that in there, too, because that was seeds that they planted from, like, 1 and 2.
Yep.
Yeah. That, you know, he went from being the ass end of a joke to now people are fearing him. And that's not what he wanted at all, so...
Right.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did also... the other part I really thought was good in this was when he's... in the room with Warhead, mm-hmm. and he's shouting at him, and like the guys outside are trying to break into the room, hearing, you know, him saying something about a Warhead.
Yeah,
like, what does he say? Get in there.
Yeah. And now for the best book of the week.
I don't know
what Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I read Harley Quinn this week.
Did you? Because no, I didn't read that garbage.
Not. Yeah, I did not. Oh, before we get to the good one, did you read Justice League?
I did not.
Oh, okay. I didn't either. I've been...
I tried to.
Yep. Yeah.
But I don't think I was in the right mindset to. So instead of saying it's garbage without even giving it a fair shake...
I'll say it's garbage without giving it a fair shake.
Well, that's fine.
I started reading it, and I was kind of falling asleep. Like, I was reading it in bed the other night, and I could not keep my eyes open. And I have no idea what I read, and I have no idea. I mean, I made it about 3 or 4 pages in before I was just like, you know what? Obviously, this book isn't going to keep my interest because I'm passing out as I'm reading it. Mm-hmm. And I meant to go back to it. I just never did. And... you know, the way the series has gone, I don't really care.
And kind of makes me sad. I intend on reading it, so I might give my thoughts next week, but...
All right. If it's good, let me know, and maybe I'll read it.
I will.
There's a lot of DC books this week, so I don't know.
Yeah.
So, that's all, right?
Nope. We got to talk about the best book of the week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So... what did you think of the brand new issue of Faith?
Didn't read it.
Yeah.
Just like, so.
No. So Superman.
Yeah.
This book was good.
Yes.
And it pissed me off at the same time.
Yes. It's all about the feels.
Yeah. One thing, I mean, you know, you're a dad. I'm a dad.
Yeah.
The one thing that, I guess, panics you the most is when you literally can't do anything to help your child.
Yep.
And, you know, I couldn't even imagine seeing my kid sort of on erasure fire.
Yeah, Marty McFly style.
And every time I went to grab him, he just kind of disappeared and showed up somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And the emotion on Superman and Lois's face.
Yep.
And the tears and this book was amazing.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought for the first part of this storyline... because
mm-hmm.
this is like the big Superman crossover.
Yeah, right.
I don't even know what it's called. Reborn?
Superman Reborn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It said everything. Like, this is what a first issue of a story should be.
Yes.
That it didn't have... like, there was nothing pointless, you know, that really isn't going to have anything to do with the story later.
Right.
Everything... set it up great. I mean, you have Tim yelling at Oz that, you know, someone's got out. And you have the whole thing with Clark dropping off the book and then disappearing. And then, you know, them looking through the book and trying to figure out what it is. Then the whole thing with, you know, with the fires. And then, you know, finally with Jonathan disappearing. You know, I mean, that's, I cannot wait until I guess action on Wednesday, because it really hooked me into this storyline.
Yeah. And you know what? When Clark showed up at the door with that family photo album, my first reaction was like, you son of a bitch, Clark. Because I knew if it had those family photos in it, that we were going to go back to the future style and start erasing things. And sure enough, that's what we did. But the emotional roller coaster was right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I liked, you know, Clark sees Crypto.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, he's like, oh, it's me. And Crypto is still just going, like, completely bonkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and each, I almost pulled a U and said episode, but each issue where Creepy Clark comes in has been more compelling and compelling and compelling.
Yep. Yeah. I agree completely. And I mean, also, you know, like, there's the page where, you know, where the house is sort of on fire at first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, Jonathan standing there.
Right.
And he's like, what does he say? I'm scared. You know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just like a typical, he doesn't hurt like regular kids.
Right.
But I mean, it's just a typical, you know, 10, 11 year old kid reaction to something.
Right.
You know, like this was done so well that, I mean, once again, Superman just, Tomasi is just knocking it out of the park with this book.
I totally agree. Like I said, like Nick says, it's the feels of this book, because you feel the angst of it. You feel the anger. You feel there really isn't joy, but you feel the bewilderment when they get the book.
Yeah.
You feel the creepy assness when, you know, Clark's even talking to Crypto.
Yeah.
Or being Creepy Clark. So, and, yeah.
And I'm wondering, the book that he has, that he gave them, is that his photo album?
I assumed so. Or, actually, I took it like it was their photo album from pre-52.
Okay.
And he had it. Because then, if it was Clark's, then it wouldn't start disappearing.
Because Clark keeps disappearing.
Well, yeah, but he's actually, like Superman said, pre-52 Superman said that, you know, he's taking our history away from us.
Right.
So I assume that it was their family photo album that they left behind pre-52.
Right.
And how he has it, no clue. Has to be Mr. Oz.
Witchcraft.
I mean, which, I mean, could be too, right? Because you know he's there, and then and he's gone the next, and Superman is weak to magic, so could be a mystical element.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. This book's so good, and like you said, I can't wait for two more days and
pick up action. I'm so glad, again, that they have the bi-weekly schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially for a crossover. You know, like with Night of the Monster Men, instead of waiting, you know, 2-3 months to get the whole story, you had it all in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be the same thing with this, that it comes super fast.
And, you know, I kind of like this to where it's like a character event, kind of like what Marvel did with Spider-Man, you know?
Okay.
Or how X-Men used to have X-Men-only events.
Right.
Because I like this because, you know, the Bat family and Batman had their crossover event in just their books. And then, you know, Superman now has, I mean, it's just two books, right?
Yeah.
It's just Superman in action. So I'm digging that a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, it could go the other way and be sort of like what the Green Lantern books became, where...
Right, well, yeah.
I mean, pretty much, I would say 80% of the New 52 run of Green Lanterns, you know, all of the books, it was just event, 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 and, like, it never gave it time to breathe, even though it was, you know, just Green Lantern-centric stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't mean for us to, like, have event after event after event, but right. I like that.
Yeah, I agree. I like the sort of self-contained.
Now that the books are established, we can have an event.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, when this was first announced, what, 3 months ago? Or when we found out about it, like, what, 3 months ago?
Something like
that. We were both like, wow, they're already doing an event? But, I mean, if the books are established, then why not?
Right. I mean, that's the same thing I said with the Night of the Monster Man. I was like, isn't it a little too early to do, you know, like a three-book crossover?
Right.
You know, like, I mean, especially, you know, when one of the books hasn't really found its footing at the time. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Superman and Action are both two of the best. So.
Yep. Yep. Agreed.
You know, and I guess Tomasi and Gleason they're both writing it, the whole thing together.
I think so.
I think. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. I'm down. I'm totally down for more.
Me too.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Up until it gets ruined in Action when they're just like, and now here, issue, what is it? 975 is a 40-page story about Steel.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah. Yeah. It's very good. That's definitely my top book of the week.
Yep, definitely. Hands down.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep. You got anything else?
I do not. I'm going to go eat some tacos, and then tomorrow I'm going to have an Uber clown bring me a taco bagel.
That's the best. How amazing would that be if one of your kids dressed up as a clown and brought you a taco bagel?
I would think it's funny as hell. My wife, on the other hand, probably would not.
I could have messaged your son on Facebook.
He hates clowns too, so that one wouldn't do it
either. Oh, really? Oh, well.
Yeah.
Even if I did it as Doink the Clown?
Well, maybe. If you said dress up like Doink the Clown, that might be.
And just hand your dad a taco bagel on a styrofoam plate.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's not get off on that tangent again.
Yeah, let's don't.
Well, you have been listening to Rebirthically, I think episode 39, we said.
Yep, 39. We are the longest running DC podcast on the Nerdy Legion.
Yep, that is correct. If you would like to tweet at us or chirp at us, you can you can hit us up. I am at Aaron S. Bell. Ronnie is at RonBar316. The show is at NL Rebirthically. You can email the show, rebirthically@gmail.com. And look
for I gotta go eat tacos, and that's it.
Yeah, I was going to say, look for our Uber taco clown endeavor in the future.
Hashtag. Wow. Hashtag Uber clown. Yeah. Bagel tacos.